Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is 11 minutes after 12 on a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. If it's Monday, that means Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business is in the studio as well. Frank, you survived another weekend?
Absolutely. Beautiful out on Northerly Island on Saturday and, just taking it all in before the next snowstorm.
Well, I was going to say, we threw away our winter coats last Friday and we might need them again by Thursday.
At Chicago.
The thing on Northerly Island that was supposed to be a big winter festival?
Yeah, it was park district.
Not so much?
Yeah, it was a polar blast, and there was supposed to be snowshoeing. There were sled dogs out there, but they were pulling wheeled carts, and no snowshoeing.
But the weather was nice, and the walking was
beautiful. Yeah.
All right, so let's, I was out there at the shed a couple of weeks ago, and it just gets packed out there on the weekends.
Man, that line goes all the way out to the field.
They were lined up outside, and then once you got inside at the shed, they wound them through the exhibits because it was so cold.
Crazy.
All right, I was there for a school project, and I got an A. Frank, one of the things I want to talk to you about is this new, I learned a word today, haptics.
Yes.
I had no idea what haptics was. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we have this startup called Tanvis in the West Loop. They've raised $5 million, and what they do is they make your touch screen more responsive and able to mimic the friction level of other kinds of materials like, say, corduroy.
Right.
Or, so that's the haptics is how you interact with that screen. This is crazy technology. So that they've got this this deal where they create friction right where your finger is touching the glass. It's a targeted electrode controlled by software, interacts with your skin as you pull it across the screen, and it creates a sensation of friction so that they can mimic, different kinds of materials like cloths or anything with a different friction point, and your finger thinks it's touching fabric.
So in a way, are they shocking us in different...
Yeah.
It's not even a bad thing, but it's an electrical
current, exactly.
And so the way it would hit us on our finger in different ways would then, it must be different frequencies or something to change from corduroy to...
velvet or...
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, big change. And so you can see our e-tailors could say, here's our new velvet cocktail dress, and you can feel what the fabric feels
like. Which,
of
course, you won't be.
No, because it's a simulacrum.
Right. I love that, though. So they'll be able to market it by saying, touch these corduroys.
Yes, and they're mechanical engineering professors at Northwestern, so they're, big brains on a really cool problem.
Yeah, I know they've had a few startups between them, and this is the third, but they were at the Consumer Electronics Show, and people received it pretty well.
Yeah, and so, I think, you've got a nice tactile sweater vest on today.
Come on, you can touch it.
I was going to say, if you feel like maybe I shouldn't be touching it I am now,
it's okay.
Rubbing your shoulders, maybe I'd just put it on the touchscreen
instead. Nothing wrong with a little human touch. And so they're saying that, though, this might also be able to be used well in cars.
Yeah, so you could maybe use it as part of your navigation system, that kind of thing. So make that more interactive and give you a better experience.
I like that because I bought a new car last year.
Uh-huh.
I love it. It's a Ford Escape. And one of the reasons I got it was because my old car still had a cassette player in it, right? So I said, it's like buying for the color.
Yeah.
I wanted a nice touchscreen console and system in there. But I find, I'm reaching over, it's distracting or whatever.
Mm-hmm. If you could do it by touch and have a different sensation to do different things, then you wouldn't have to look at it.
So if you're feeling the screen and it feels leathery, you can be FM or AM,
right?
Yeah. AM would be a little staticky. No, not at all.
No static at all.
All right, so we've got that. And I know they've got 10 employees, but so far no real revenue source, right?
No. So they need to put this into actual, regular production on products, but... Yeah, I can't wait.
No, I think it's pretty cool. And I think it's what we've been waiting for in many ways.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to take you to lunch, and we'll talk about this and the other things we typically talk about, but only if we can sit at one of those tables, those high tables.
You're one of those guys, Steve. You're taller. As you said, we have different body types. I'm a short, squat guy. You're a tall man. You need some leg room. I hate high tops.
High tops. There's the word. Yeah, no, that's right. So the high tops are, you know, you've got your typical chair, and then you've got the high tops. And, you know, typically you would see the high top tables at the bar.
At the bar, sports bar, that kind of thing.
And sort of a lean-on thing.
Yeah, so Ann Spieselman for Cranes finds out that a lot more high-end restaurants are employing tall boys, high tops, not just in the bar area, but also in the main dining room. That a lot of the tables being added now, and so you go in, you know, you're paying upwards of $100 a person, and they're going to seat you where my legs are going to be dangling like right. I'm in a high chair.
And
something.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, they're charging me $100 a person, and then they're cramming me in this little table next to the floor.
So I think that maybe they just had to have enough so that when you come in, you can sit at the high top and I can sit at the low top. I mean, as long as they have a good distribution.
We could sit at a slope and have lunch.
Yeah, but my feeling is I go into these restaurants now, these high-end restaurants where they've got the high tops, and the server will often try to guide you to the high tops because I think most people prefer the low tops, so maybe that's just my perspective.
Point, right.
So they want to fill those up for anybody who doesn't object, and so you have to literally say, no, I'd prefer to sit at an actual table.
They are tables. It's a story written by Ann at chicagobusiness.com. You can read it more about it, but it's interesting to me. So they're saying that, you know, they used to be in the bar because it just was awkward to have lower tables and looking at people sitting on bar stools next to you. It's just it's the
right.
dimension thing.
Right.
But now they're selling more and more of these. The high tops are on a big increase at higher-end restaurants.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is because they take up less space and people tend to stay there less time.
That's right. So they can turn it over more quickly. They can pack more people in. And it's also very high energy. There's, you know, it tends to be, you know, conversation and you're interacting more. We're just used to those in a bar space. So, and the sales have grown up to 40% annually for the past 3 years, according to supplier, Chicago Booth Manufacturing. So it is, and it's in the higher end restaurants are leading the way.
It's interesting because it definitely does have a more casual feel to me. So we'll see if they can pull that off. Also, older people prefer the table to the high top. And older people probably tend to go to the high-end restaurants, too.
That's true. So, yeah, so they look at young guys like us, and they want to put us at the high tops. Maybe that's the way to look at it.
I just learned today you're a little older than me.
Oh, yeah?
Are you? I don't even know.
Yeah, just turned 48.
Okay. No, you're not. Frank said it. You can read a lot more at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks, Steve.
/12:22, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. In the studio, Katie Fitzpatrick, the Executive Director of Programs for the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. She has been here before. Katie, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
I want to talk about a cool thing, too, because I know we've got the James Tyree Award. The nomination period is just beginning, right? It closes, what, about a month from now or so?
Correct.
And tell me about the award and who might be eligible because, well, I'm going to tell you, it's for entrepreneurs in the city, but not just people who are building businesses or have great ideas. It's for people who are helping communities as well.
Correct. So the Tyree Award was created in 2012 in memory of James Tyree, who is the former chairman and CEO of Mesro Financial and also the chairman of the Chicagoland Chamber's Board of Directors. And this award was really created to give back to the community and to recognize local entrepreneurs and small business owners who are responsible for growing and creating jobs in the region. So Mesro Financial and the Chamber teamed up to create this award. There's a $25,000 cash prize, and we are thrilled that this year we also got the private bank on board, and there is now a cash prize of $50,000.
Which means it came 1 year too late for Neil Byers.
I know, and I still feel bad about that.
Neil is the owner of the Horse Thief Hollow. It's a saloon on South Side. It's on Western, right?
Yeah.
Come right up to the microphone there. And you were last year's winner.
Correct.
And so $50,000, $25,000 is nice, right? Tell me about your business.
Yeah. So Horse Thief Hollow is a brew pub in Beverly on 104th and Western. We have a menu that has a bunch of charcuterie and handcrafted sausages and barbecue, and then we brew our own beer. We have IPAs and pale ales, and we also kind of do some interesting beers. We have a blackcurrant milk stout and a coconut imperial stout.
That sounds pretty good. Okay, so, but I'm sure the food and the beer and all of that is wonderful, but it's probably wasn't one of the leading reasons that you won the award last year, right, Katie?
Right, and this is open. I mean, we've had a range of industries represented from tech and also other hospitality. But what we saw last year with Neil was that he's really an anchor on the south side of Chicago, and that's what really drew the judges to pick him as the Tyree Award winner last year.
Tell me about you. Look, he's so vain. You can tell he's so shy over there. Tell me about what it is that makes you an anchor and what you do for the community.
You see, like, I never really thought of this myself as being an anchor or putting myself in a position like that. I just did some of the things I believed in, which was working with the community. I love the South Side. I believe in the South Side. And so I wanted to get the local people involved with the business. So we called out to local artists. All the artwork on the walls is all made by local artists. We support a lot of local businesses. We have about 40 employees ourselves.
Some of the food, right?
Jimmy Jam's sweet potato pie, which is 95th Street. We work with Beverly Bakery. We do a lot of things in the community.
All right, so that's great. You do that because you believe in the South Side and you want to promote it and all that. But it's also good for business, isn't it?
For sure.
Doing something like that, really serving a community, how has it helped your business?
Well, we all start brainstorming on ideas and working together, and that collaboration kind of effort helps to create new concepts and new beers or new food items or what have you.
Now, the Southside Irish Parade is coming up.
That's right.
What's going to happen there?
It's going to be a good time for sure.
Yeah. Is it, you get swamped there? I mean, I know things settle down for a while.
It's busy, but it's not like how it was in the past. They have it really well organized, and it's just a good, festive, family-friendly environment now.
Well, congratulations to you. You're going to have to take that crown off your head and give it to someone else coming up in a couple of months. But the Horse Thief Hollow Brew Pub, tell me again the address, Neil.
10426 Southwestern.
All right, so the people who want to succeed, Neil, Katie, they can nominate themselves, I would imagine.
Right, it's all on our webpage, chicagolandchamber.org. Basically, they just have to operate within the 6-county Chicagoland metropolitan area, be in business for 2 years, be able to demonstrate that they've grown those past 2 years, have at least 5 employees, and again, just be involved in philanthropic initiatives.
And part of it is there's a live presentation in front of judges, right?
Correct. On April 14th, there will be a pitch event where we have sharks, so it's Shark Tank style, and 12 of the top front runners will be invited to give their pitches, and then the audience will vote.
It's exciting. Well, thank you very much for coming
Thanks.
In. People want more information. Where do they find it?
Please visit our webpage, chicagolandchamber.org.
Katie Fitzpatrick is the Executive Director of Programs at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and Neil Byers is the owner-operator of the Horse Thief Hollow Brew Pub. Thanks very much for coming, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And if you listen regularly, you know I love it when the boys from Chicago Inno come in the studio. Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke are both here. Welcome back, boys.
Thanks for having
Thanks.
Us.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
I mostly just wanted to rehash the Super Bowl. How did that go for you, Jim?
Oh, why are you got to bring
Man,
that up,
been sitting on that
Steve?
One.
Gosh.
I wanted to have you in earlier, but Dahlke from Carolina.
Man.
And we all enjoyed that.
That was
so
tough.
One of the things that we talk about when you guys are here often, it seems like, is the cloud tax. And it was put off for a while, and then has enforcement just started a week or two ago? Is that you?
Yeah, definitely. And the reason we talk about it is because the city is spending a lot of time positioning itself as tech friendly. And then the cloud tax comes out, which is not tech friendly. It makes businesses less competitive because basically what the cloud tax does is it taxes vendors an additional 5.2% who are involved in streaming services or cloud-based services. That's anyone from Netflix to Spotify to basically any software company, because any software is being delivered via the cloud. So we've talked to a lot of tax experts, a lot of lawyers about this, and we've kind of come to two conclusions. One, it's not long for the world. If you look at these states, Michigan, Alabama, Vermont, and Idaho that have passed a similar tax in the past, it's all gone.
Really?
And the reason is because those 4 states, like Chicago, passed this tax through the city administration and not through the legislature. So states like Washington, they have taxes on the digital worlds, but that's because it went through the legislature and there was voting, there was public voting, there was discussion, there was debate. There wasn't any of that in Chicago. There wasn't any in those 4 states.
Okay,
and that's
but what are you saying? Are you saying that the cities abandoned it because it doesn't work or that it's thrown out in court?
Litigation. So you're looking at this tax. The city of Chicago says the cloud tax is going to generate an estimated $12 million in additional revenue for the year. If they start getting sued by these, and that number starts to creep up to the $12 million, it doesn't become worth it. Mm-hmm. In Michigan, it was live for 3 years. They were losing battles in court. And then this past October said, you know what, we're done with this tax, and has refunded everybody that it taxed on the cloud.
Yeah, it's given that money back to the people who had paid the tax. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of where this goes. I mean, there's at least one lawsuit ongoing right now suing the cloud tax. And then the experts and lawyers we spoke with are guessing that there's going to be more to follow.
Yeah, there's just precedent for this. And every time one of these taxes have been passed through city administration, not legislature, it's just not long for the world. So it's a matter of when those lawsuits start coming in and then when it snowballs.
Well, you would think that the Emanuel administration would be aware of this, right? I mean, we're not telling them something they don't know.
No, but the administrator's job is to look at existing taxes and collect as much as they can under those existing. They're not concerned about legislation, how this impacts right. the local business economy. And that's where they're kind of doing what they were supposed to do without being aware that maybe these other states
have you seen
that?
Has it had sort of a chilling effect at all and when companies and startups?
You know,
here?
It's so interesting because we try to ask as many people just in our day-to-day interviews like what they think about it. And God, I'd say it's almost split. Like half of the companies say this isn't that big of a deal. Like it's a small line item. It's not going to change a whole lot for us. They're like of their laundry list of things to worry about in a given day and week, it's not high. Mm-hmm. Other people think it's a big deterrent for the startup ecosystem here in Chicago as far as companies moving here and not only growing here but staying here once they get to that threshold of where – because startups under $25 million in revenue are exempt from this tax. So, okay. You know, you're here – under $25 million, you get to above $25 million, and then now you're starting to get this tax. Are you considering leaving the city? I mean, how do you continue to grow? So there are people that we talk to that say, yes, this is a big deal for Chicago, and it's a really anti-startup.
The biggest impact is on perception, and that's one thing we've talked about. As a line item, it's not going to sink a business. It's a pain in the butt.
And it's not a hug. It's not a hug from the city.
No, and every city in the country is trying to brand itself as startup friendly. Like, we're not the only people who realize, ooh, tech is an important growing vertical. Let's try to cater to it. Everyone's doing that, and it makes it really hard when you add something that makes you less competitive.
That's Will Flanagan, Jim Dahlke, both here from Chicago Inno. All right, tell me about this Opternative, which is I feel like we've talked about this before, have we, or did they just...
Yeah, Opternative is a really interesting startup. They do online eye exams, which sounds kind of funky, but it's like it really makes sense when you look at the tech and what they've built. Basically, Opternative is an eye exam you take at home on your computer screen. You're using your screen kind of like you would an eye chart, and you're using your phone to kind of answer the questions and as a remote to kind of move the test along.
Right.
Basically, you take the exam at home. You can get a prescription emailed to you, which you can take and get your prescription filled for your eyeglasses or your contacts. Basically, eliminates the need to kind of get your prescription filled by physically going into the eye doctor.
Okay, so when I go to the eye doctor, though, they pace off how far I am from the... Right? I mean, there's more than just the screen and the touch phone.
Yes, you get instructions for how far to step back. They're trusting you that you're following the directions.
Right.
So you have to, you know, kind of monitor yourself and read the directions carefully.
It's a weird thing. Why would you want to cheat on your eye test?
Exactly.
But you want to win, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, but you're going to, I mean, if you care about, you know, getting the right prescription and getting
and
that filled.
Yeah, an Opternative says, like, go to an eye doctor. Please, like, don't use
us
to
it's not. It's not a substitute for an eye health exam. I mean, because it's not going to catch things like cataracts and eye cancer and other issues that go on that you can catch in an actual doctor's visit. But basically, if you just need a prescription refilled, they can do that for you. And then they're in the news because they just raised $6 million last week.
Nice. And it's what we've been talking about. Andrea Haynes was here from Blue Sky last week, and I don't remember the name of the company, but it was the same thing, a smartphone app that can do the sort of preliminary things that you need before getting a doctor involved. All right,
yeah.
So that's Opternative.
Mm-hmm.
Tech Madness is coming up for you guys?
Tech Madness is a big series for us. Last year we did our inaugural Tech Madness Challenge. 64 tech company startups from Chicago we put into this bracket. We seed them based on venture capital raise.
So this is like
counts.
March Madness
it's
for the
March
for the real
March
geeks,
Madness
huh?
for yeah. Chicago Tech. We release it out to the community. It's interactive, so all of our readers, the tech community, votes on who moves on. It is a fun competition to generate awareness for the players, both big and small, in the city. I think, you know, we're talking about Alternative. We just raised a lot of money. We talk a lot about the Groupons, the Go-Go's, the Grubhubs, you know, these public companies.
The Groupons, the Go-Go's, yeah. The Grubhubs.
Yeah, all the G's. Yeah. And, you know, this is a way to just kind of get people paying attention to everybody that is involved on the entire spectrum.
It's kind of a nice little initiation project if you want to know what's going on in Chicago Tech.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we did it last year for the first time, having not done it before, and we got over 30,000 votes on this thing for the entire competition, so people seem to be really into it, and it's a great way to see like all the different interesting companies that are going on in Chicago.
So tell me how it works, or when it works. When does it go up?
We're putting it up on Wednesday the 2nd. We're going to be hosting an event at headquarters in River North, the kind of arcade bar.
Jan, have you got the... No, we haven't gotten the invitation to that. I'm sure it's...
No, free tickets.
It's in the mail,
you guys
yeah.
don't have an invitation.
Free
You're
tickets.
On the list.
Oh, I don't
You're
know
on, you guys are on the list.
I don't go anywhere free.
You guys are on the list. Invitation is in the mail. And we'll be revealing the bracket, then we'll be putting it on the website afterwards, and voting will happen all month. We'll be releasing a new round every week. And it's exciting. Can't wait to see who kind of cuts the .net down.
We'll have to – I like that, the .net. We'll have to have you guys back when it's over and just sort of review that.
Totally.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we did this on our – we. The Inno boys were on our – it was a very Inno Christmas, my Christmas
yes.
special, where we did this real or fake because, you know, these – all these different startups, some of them are pretty outlandish, so trying to figure out which ones are real. So we're going to play a round of real or fake coming up, and I think Kim Gordon in the newsroom is going to play as well. But we're going to take a break, check some numbers and all that. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, thank you very much. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. I've got the Inno boys, the boys from Chicago Inno, Jim Dulkey and Will Flanagan, who, Will, is pretty much, you're pretty much the boss at Chicago Inno, aren't you? You kind of run things? Is that
no.
managing it?
Maybe title and title
What's
only,
the title? What's
as
the title?
Far as general manager.
Okay.
But
yeah, I think general manager.
Execution and actual skills, not the case.
So is Jim Dulkey a good employee or a
the
bad
best
employee?
Is the
he's,
best.
He's pretty good, yeah?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
All right,
so
move
let's
it up the chain to some of the high
right, let's make something happen then. All right, real or fake? Tell me about this game.
Real or fake, Steve, in the startup world, tech moves so fast, we get the most ridiculous pitches every day on new companies that sound fake but are real.
Right, okay.
And then one of my hobbies is coming up with terrible businesses that I pitch to Jim. So we've combined those. We've put a list together of real startups and fake startups, and we need you to tell us what is real and what is fake.
All right, Kim Gordon from the newsroom is going to play along. Kim,
I'm ready.
Say hello to the Inno boys.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
All right, can she trust you guys? Probably not.
Probably
we'll
not.
See.
All right. All right, give us your first one.
All right, so the first startup we've got is the company's called Binna48. Binna48. And Binna48 is a lifelike robot that can talk and have spontaneous thoughts similar to that of a person who's passed away. So this is a robot that you're going to have around to mimic the how they look and how they talk based on someone in your life who has passed away. So it pulling from a database of a person's thoughts and feelings and memories from sources like social media and using facial recognition, artificial intelligence, voice recognition, it's basically creating a backup copy of a person's mind. The end result is basically digital immortality, a robot that looks and talks like someone who has died and can use their past memories and feelings to live on forever in the form of a robot. Binna48.
What do you think, Kim, real or fake?
Okay, well, that's extremely creepy to me, so I hope it's not real.
It's totally real. I think it's totally real.
That's a real company.
That's a real company.
Oh, my god!
Very real, in fact. It's founded by Maureen Rothblatt. She's the founder of SiriusXM and the CEO of United Therapeutics. She's fascinating. Google her, Maureen Rothblatt. She also has a farm in Virginia where she's raising genetically altered pigs for organs that she'll hopefully use in human transplant.
I remember
that's real
reading.
Too.
Yeah,
that could be the next one. But that they would take all of your social media postings and sort of create this...
Basically, it kind of knows your feelings and what you've said in the past, and it kind of puts all of this together, and it is basically, you'll be able to talk to this robot as you would talk to them in real life.
Wow. Okay, Will, you got one for us?
Yeah. So you guys know Airbnb, hot home sharing
Real.
Startup.
I say real.
Oh, no, that's not it. Not yet. But this startup is, if Airbnb bills itself as live like a local, they want users to come and instead of going to a hotel, you know, or staying in a bed and breakfast, like, you know, live like the locals. This is TBNB, the letter T, BNB, and it's the Airbnb for clothes. They want you to look like a local. So you come into the city, you access TBNB, and you can go and borrow a resident's clothes so you can fit right in.
That's perfect for the presidential campaign.
Exactly.
You know? Perfect for a Cubs game, a jersey before the game.
Yeah, so you don't have to buy a jersey. Go, you know.
Bill Clinton's campaigning in New Hampshire needs that red and black check shirt.
Exactly.
It's TBNB.
TBNB, Airbnb for clothes, look like a local.
What does the T stand for? Do you?
Just took a T-shirt.
Oh, okay, that makes
it's
sense.
It's also waist up, Steve. All the clothes, there's no pants or shoes.
Kim?
I think it's probably real.
That sounds really good to me. I think
it's probably real.
Although I know Will a little bit, and I know that sometimes he comes up with really good ideas that are fake. So I'm going to say this one's fake.
This is fake. This is from my hamster wheel.
It's a good idea.
But the fact that you generate so many positive responses like that worries me a little bit.
I know.
You've done that before. Where you pitched one that, because that seems like a perfectly logical idea.
That's why I love tech is because it caters to the crazy like a fox's.
Yeah.
we got time for one more.
All right, well, last one. This startup is called Fourth Wheel. This is an on-demand dating startup that allows you to select from a marketplace of people to fill in spots on awkward three-person or five-person dates. So basically, if you were the third wheel on a date, you're with a couple of others who are having a better time than you are.
So Jim, explain this to me. Now, the three people, it's not one date, right? Two people are dating.
You're all out together. You're going to dinner. You're gonna go catch a ball game. And the two people have coupled up, and you find yourself as a third wheel, and it's pretty boring. You want to have some extra company, an app, on-demand company, Fourth Wheel.
Kim? Dating's a hot vertical. On-demand's a hot vertical. Combine the two.
I like that. I think that's absolutely true.
I think
it's real.
I think you're making that one up.
That is a fake startup.
Oh, my God. Well, I'd fall for them all.
You just have to spend more time with these two knuckleheads, I think. Thank you for that, Kim. Now work on the 1 o'clock news, will you?
It's done.
So. Oh, okay. Kim Gordon will be back with a check of the news. Jim Dahlke and Will Flanagan, you guys, thanks for coming in. Give me 20 seconds on Chicago Inno and how people find it.
Yeah, chicagoinno.com. Check us out. We cover tech and innovation locally, accessibly. We want to take all of the cool, fascinating things that entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders, anyone is doing in this city, package it in a way that you can understand it and get interested in it as well.
It's like car talk for tech.
That's it.
Beautiful.